States v. Ledke. Ms. Kim.
Good morning, Judge Posner, Judge Coffey, Judge Sykes. May it please the Court, my name is Helen Kim and I represent the appellant in this case, Sean Ledke. There's two issues in this case. One has to do with procedure and one has to do with process. The first issue I wanted to address was the method of classifying crimes as crimes of violence generally. It seems to me that if the history of this court in classifying those cases is permitted to stand, if the district court's procedure was right in looking just to the elements of the offense and not to the specific conduct charged in the count of conviction. Moreover, if crimes that have a mental state less than intent, such as recklessness, are permitted to be crimes of violence, then the problem that comes is that cases such as the teenage girl who is putting on makeup in the car, the mother who's reaching back to tend to a baby in a car seat that's crying, perhaps the person who's eating in their car and drops something while they're driving, those people are going to be caught up in the net of people who are going to now be classified as having a crime of violence in their background.
Those hypotheticals are unlikely to be classified as reckless homicides if accidents were to occur and fatalities ensue. Your situation is much different, even if we look past the elements to the specific facts of the crime. Your client was driving drunk. He was traveling at 70 miles per hour in a crowded residential neighborhood.
Your Honor, it wasn't a
negligent reaching behind to tend to a crying baby kind of situation.
I agree with you that the examples that I gave and one of the issues that it raises is, of course, the difference between something that's negligent and something that rises to the level of recklessness. And I chose those examples because I do believe that it could be argued, it could be charged as a reckless homicide crime if the end result ended up to be a fatality. In Sean Leckie's case, the record doesn't say that he was driving drunk. It indicates that he was charged with two counts, the second one referenced to alcohol, but he didn't plead guilty to that count. The first count doesn't specify what conduct was done, and that's the problem with the way that it's charged. It just says that he was driving recklessly and in some manner that was reckless caused the death by his driving. When the district court was asked to look further into some of the documents, still only going with the charging documents to start, then when the charging documents weren't clear enough, going further into things that this court has said is proper to do, looking at, for example, the plea colloquy. What the court found by looking at those transcripts was that the factual basis was at most that Sean Leckie was going 60 to 70 miles per hour. But in Rutherford, this court, although it was in dicta and it was a separate issue related to use of force, had said that speeding would hardly fall under a serious risk that was envisioned under 4B1.2. So I submit that even if we were to take the facts that were charged,
you can look behind a conviction of reckless homicide to see what was actually involved.
My understanding of the law is that you can look to the charging document, and then if for some reason that's unclear, although you
can't... Well, what if he were convicted of murder, and you said, well, murder could have been recklessness, could have been this, could have been that, could have been a mistake. Can't do that.
But we're not asking that what it could have been. We're asking that the district court stay confined to the charging document to look at the conduct.
With every crime, no matter how heinous, it covers a whole range of activities. And recklessness is often equated to intent. So you're asking us to adopt a rule where we could peek behind any conviction, murder, first degree, what have you, and see, well, it was really recklessness. Recklessness is like negligence and so on and so forth. It opens up too much collateral inquiry into the facts of previous crimes.
We're actually not asking the court to delve deeper and to start looking further than certain documents.
Yeah, but you want us to do that in every case, every crime. You want to look back and see, yeah, it looks like a crime of violence, assault with a deadly weapon, but maybe, you know, he was just careless in brandishing this machine gun at the victim.
What we're arguing is that if 4B1.2 specifically says that you're supposed to look at the conduct charge and in a note says that it should be what's expressly charged, that conduct, that's what we're asking the court to look at.
I didn't hear what you said. It should be what?
If under 4B1.2 it says to look at the conduct specifically charged.
That's when you right. have crime categories that cover a wide range of disparate activity.
That's true, and I believe that that would then be up to the state and up to the way that they charge the indictment
That's
to make sure
fuzzy.
That...
It's too fuzzy.
But the court in previous cases, including Rutherford...
A case like this.
But the court has used the procedure that we're asking to
be used
now. It
has to be applied reason to say the crimes that have broad definitions cover a range of activity, not reckless homicide.
The fact that the reckless homicide occurred, I understand, would be troubling for this court. And that's why the argument that we make is one where the procedure has to be looked at and the consistency of the procedure is important. Moreover, it's important that the courts follow the procedure set out by the Sentencing Commission in their explicit language, because when they're looking to the guidelines and they're looking to make those classifications, that would be the proper result.
Don't you agree speeding with in an automobile like this and causing a death is reckless conduct? And dangerous?
It is dangerous.
And it isn't a crime. And you contend that isn't a crime of violence?
Not necessarily. Although it's not in the record, when
well, then
I...
Then you can't bring it up.
But to answer Your Honor's question about the speeding issue, I believe...
Not speeding. When you're driving at an excessive speed and someone is killed or seriously... That's a crime of violence. Here you're driving a 4,000-pound vehicle, 50 and 60 and 70 miles an hour.
What was the speed limit?
That I don't know, and the record doesn't say.
What if it was 20? You're not questioning that he was reckless, are you?
No, I'm not questioning that. But we are saying
well,
that...
Criminal recklessness is very close to intent.
But the question of whether or not the correct procedure was used by the district court in this case by looking just to the elements rather than looking at the specific conduct.
But the elements of the Illinois recklessness statute track the definition of a crime of violence, don't they?
Was he asked about this at trial? What you're raising now?
No, he pled guilty. And
pardon me?
He pled guilty to the case.
Yeah.
And at the time that he
well,
pled
guilty...
Well,
at the time of sentencing, did he bring this up?
In the federal case? We brought this issue up as far as the issue of intent, as well as whether or not this should have been a crime of violence.
Before the trial court?
Before the sentencing court. Yes.
And what was his answer?
I'm sorry.
What was his answer if you brought it up to the?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the first part of the question.
If what did the judge say if you contested it at the time of sentencing?
As to the speeding issue?
Your contention, yes.
The judge found he simply looked at the elements of the offense.
I know. That's what you're telling me now.
Right.
I said, did you contest it with him, with the sentencing
no.
judge?
No, we left it with our arguments that we made in our filings.
Then you're raising it for the first time here.
We're raising it. We raised it in writing for the sentencing hearing, And after the judge made its finding over our objection, then we moved on to the next issue. I see that I've used up my time. Thank you.
Perry?
May it please the court. By its very definition, reckless homicide presents a serious risk of potential physical injury because it is defined as a crime that is likely to cause death or great bodily harm. As this court has held in Rutherford, recklessness itself may be considered a crime of violence, and as this court held specifically in New Bern, the Illinois definition of recklessness does qualify as a crime of violence. And for that reason, we ask that the district court's judgment with respect to the crime of violence be affirmed. With respect to the second issue raised by the appellant, we also ask that the defendant's sentence be upheld as reasonable in this case. This was a low-end sentence within the applicable advisory guidelines range. Therefore, the presumption of reasonableness that was approved of in the recent Supreme Court case of Rita applies, and the defendant has done nothing to rebut that presumption of reasonableness. For those reasons, we ask that the district court's sentence be affirmed in this case. Are there no questions?
Thank you very much, Ms. Perry, and thank you, Ms. Cameron, and we thank the defenders for their efforts on behalf of your client.